You just authored a book, Leading with Honor, Leadership Lessons from the Hanoi Hilton. When I first read that title, I thought, gee, there are too many generations who might not even know what the Hanoi Hilton is.
You're right. The people over 50 all know, some in the 40s know, but the ones in their 20s have no idea. In fact, I was at a convention where I was speaking. One young man right out of school working now on his MBA looked over at me and said, I see you're in the hospitality industry. He saw the Hanoi Hilton, Leadership Lessons from the Hanoi Hilton, thought I was in the hotel business.
Is that a little disconcerting to you?
No, not really. It's perfectly normal. That's gallows humor. The Hanoi Hilton is a name given to it, Hualo Prison. It's a French prison built in the early 1900s. It occupies an entire block in downtown Hanoi. It's a medieval fortress-type prison. The walls are 15 feet high, 5 or 6 feet thick, guard towers at all the corners. So impossible to escape from. No one ever escaped from there. It was cold in the winter and hot in the summer, and rats and bugs and all that we lived with. I know one time I called for the English speaker and told him we needed some more blankets. And he said, this prison, not hotel.
So they were probably in on the joke a
little bit. I think they had figured that out.
Is humor essential in being able to survive 5.5 years as a prisoner of war?
Yes, it really is. And interestingly enough, the stress of it, the first 3 or 4 months was so heavy. We were being threatened. We were being tried with war criminals. Torture was coming around. And then I can remember we'd been there almost 3 months, and one of my cellmates, he said something, and I looked over and made a comment, kind of like, I know what you're doing there. And we started laughing. And we laughed until we had tears. But it was such a relief to be able to laugh.
It's been 45 years since you wrote, since it happened.
Right.
What's that most powerful story that resonates?
It's hard for me to pick my favorite movie or my favorite food, but one of my most powerful stories was the time that I was interrogated and had the good cop, bad cop interrogators, and one was saying, I don't really want to hurt you, but this other guy, he's really mean and he wants to hurt you and da-da-da-da. And I just had to keep saying no because I was committed to living by the code of conduct, committed to being loyal to my country and my teammates. I continued to say no, so they brought in, some torture. And we went back and forth on that for almost a full 24 hours. And eventually I agreed to do something, which was fill out a biography they wanted me to fill out. I gave my name, rank, service number, date of birth, which that we're supposed to do. But I didn't give any more that was accurate, except for my father's name. But afterwards, I felt so broken inside. My morale went through the floor.
Because you feel like they had won?
I felt like they had won. No, more than that, I felt like I had lost. And I was the weakest, poorest military person that had ever worn the uniform and didn't deserve anything except maybe to be court-martialed and strung up. That's how badly I felt, that I was not strong enough to resist the enemy. Well, as it turned out later, I've learned that everybody had been through that sort of thing and done about the same thing. Some were able to take torture longer, some less.
Do you mind me asking, what kind of torture did they use?
Well, in that particular case, it was what we call the humane torture, the self-torture. But they put you in a stress position. I was on my knees on a concrete floor with my hands in handcuffs over my head. You know, after a few hours, I would sit down and relax a little bit because my body would just be quivering. And they would come in and start kicking and beating on me.
You talked about how you were first lieutenant when you came in and that there were masters of leadership who were already there. What did they say to you to make you understand and be able to get over that point where you felt that you had failed?
I was able to talk to the senior ranking person, and that was Lieutenant Colonel Robbie Reisner. And so he told me of what he had been through, and he had been through the ropes torture, which was really hideous. He told me about that in 6 months in a completely dark room where he'd had anxiety attacks. He said, we just need to bounce back. He said, be a good American, live by the code of conduct. Take torture to resist only up to the point of where you don't lose permanent physical or mental damage. Then go ahead and give in, give as little as possible, and then get ready to bounce back. Get your morale back in shape so you can bounce back again and resist again. Stay united through communications, pray every day, and go home proud.
Return proud. That became your motto, wasn't it?
Return with honor became our motto. Mm-hmm. And that was the most fantastic mission, vision, and value statement like a company would have, all in three words. We did everything in three words. Return, but with honor. Return with honor.
If you could give me the scope of the book, mm-hmm. when do you take readers into your life,
right.
and when does it end?
It begins, chapter one begins with my shoot down and capture. And chapter one is really all about knowing yourself. The first six chapters are about leading yourself, and the last eight are about leading others.